Welcome to the Faith in the Family podcast, brought to you by Care for the Family. In this episode, Rob Parsons and Catherine Hill talk about the challenges we face if our children do not share our faith and provide some key do's and don'ts in keeping our relationship with them strong.
Do you know, Catherine, that the parable that Jesus told, the parable of the prodigal son, is very moving, but it's enacted in homes, of course, every day today. And all over the world, I've been with parents who've cried for their prodigals. And I know you've written on it, I know you've got a heart for it. You've come across that, haven't you?
We have four children, and I would say we've done more or less the same for them, bringing them up. We've worked as hard at our parenting, we've prayed as hard for each one. And yeah, we know something of the pain of, for one of them, when just at the moment they've put faith on hold. Now, I actually think it's buried deep down there somewhere. But I do know something of the pain of that. And I think for parents for whom that's a reality, it's so hard, because I think every parent has got dreams. We've all got dreams for our kids. We have dreams of, what we want them to do in life, maybe. We want them to achieve their full potential. But the thing that is at the heart of it, I think, if we love Jesus, we want them to love Jesus too. We know they'll have more fulfilled lives now. And also, we want them to spend eternity with him in heaven. And so that's why it is such a painful and a hard issue, I think, for many parents.
And it's easy to feel guilty, isn't it? Time and time again, I come across parents of prodigals and they're just weighed down with this guilt. Where did we go wrong? If only we'd done this, if only we've done that. And yet even God has trouble with his children. But guilt, one woman wrote to me and said, guilt comes with a placenta, as part of parenting.
But this issue particularly, I think, we feel guilty. We look back and we think, well, if we had gone to that church instead of this one, if they'd gone to that school instead of this one, if we had done family devotions with them, if we hadn't done family devotions with them, whatever it is, we try and pinpoint a reason. But I think that's not helpful. And the other thing, I think we feel guilt, but the other thing we feel, I think, is fear. We sort of fast forward and we think, what about the life choices they're making? And we feel fearful as well.
I know this is not always true, but I have a hunch that many of our prodigals are not so far from God as we think. They're a million miles from our particular Christian culture, but they're not that far from God. I remember a couple coming up to me after a seminar in North America. And they were mid-50s. She said, we got a prodigal daughter, she's 22 years old. And I said, tell me about her. Does she ever pray, do you think? Oh, I'm sure she prays. She lives away from home now, occasionally, yes, she prays. And is she a good friend? Oh, she's an incredible friend. Does she care for the poor? Oh, she's got a real heart. In fact, she works in a homeless shelter once a week. And I said, well, she's not doing too badly, is she? Some of those things really matter to God, And I said, I think you need to ring her up and say, darling, we're so proud of the work you're doing with the homeless people. Keep on praying, even if it's not every day. We're grateful for what's going on in your life. And sometimes we have to take a second look at our so-called prodigals and see their hearts.
No, I think that's right. And I think very easily we put them in a little box called prodigals and don't step back and take that second look. But somehow as parents, I think we often take too much responsibility for our children's spiritual well-being, and we think it's all down to us, and that's too heavy a weight. Actually, we all know parents who have broken every rule in the book and whose
fantastic
children
kids
are just doing great
so
with
annoying.
God, so annoying, and other parents who by any stretch of the imagination have done everything, and yet for some reason, just at the moment, their children aren't walking with God.
There's a phrase I came across some years ago, God has no grandchildren. Every person that comes into relationship with him has to do so directly. And that's hard for suspense, because we almost want to drag our kids into the kingdom.
But one mum once came up to me and she said, Catherine, if my kids weren't all following God, I think I would have failed as a mum. And at the time, I get what she was saying, but it was so hurtful, because didn't she think that we prayed as hard for our kids and as she had? So I think for all of us, we only know what's happening today. And anything can happen down the road. Hearts can be turned to God, but also turned away as well.
Yeah, it's not all sewn up. You know, I know there's that lovely verse in the book of Proverbs, bring up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. But that's not a guarantee. It's a general principle. Look, however you interpret the creation story, Adam and Eve had the perfect father, perfect parent, and the perfect environment. It ain't any better than that. No modern parent is going to do better than that. And yet those children walked away from God in that sense. So we have to have a degree of humility. And none of us knows what's coming down the road, as I said a moment ago. In a sense, we want to encourage other parents, but, well, be safe from that smugness. And we need that dependence on God. Do you know, a woman wrote to me shortly after I wrote the book, Bringing Home the Prodigals, Catherine, and she said, my daughter walked out when she was 18. We didn't see her for 6 years. We didn't know whether she was alive or dead. And every night as we turned out the lights, I'd say to my husband, leave the porch light on. And at Christmas, she said, I'd put a little Christmas tree outside the front door with lights on it, as we used to when she was a little girl. And she said, Rob, when she was 24, she came back to us and to God. And she said, Mum, I wanted to come home many times, but I was too ashamed. But some nights in the early hours of the morning, I'd drive into our street and every house was dark, apart from our house. You always left a light on. And at Christmas, I'd sit there again in the early hours of the morning and I'd look at the Christmas tree and I knew you'd put it there for me. And I've said to parents all over the world, don't ever give up hope, keep on praying, always leave a light on. And I think sometimes that's the best, apart from prayer, that we can do.
Yeah. And I think there's some practical things we can do. You know, if our children, for the time being, have turned their back and have chosen a different path. And, you know, we've talked about guilt, and it's very easy to say, lay down the guilt. But actually, we need to do that. We need to just bring that to the cross, really, and then replace it with the things that God wants to put in our lives. We probably have messed up, so let's be real about that on different things. But overall, they're His children. He loves them more than we do. He wants them to come back to Him. And so if we can focus on that. And then, you know, there's some sort of practical things, like I know when ours went off to university, I thought I could just maneuver the situation so they would get plugged into a church and to the Christian Union or whatever. And so for our first one, I found out that there were some friends who were living in the same city. And so I said, could they invite him round for a meal? And he got this text from people he didn't know and didn't see why he should reply. Fair enough, really. So that didn't work out. And then when our daughter went off to university, I did the same again, and they invited her around and they gave her chili con carne, which she was not impressed with, because that's what she'd had every night of Freshers Week, I think. And so that didn't go so well either. And I think our attempts to manipulate, you know, the book by the bed, all those kind of things, they are pretty transparent. Our kids know what we think, and us trying to maneuver them into those situations, I don't think that's a good thing. But sometimes I think our kids reach a crossroads in life, and as their parents, we may not be the right people to talk to them, but there might be a youth leader, a godparent, somebody else that just, and I've always prayed that for our kids, that when they needed that wise voice, that somebody would be there for them. And I think that's a great thing to be able to pray.
Yeah, I do think that. And it's hard as a parent to think that they might be closer or even share things with somebody, as long as we trust them, with others that they don't share with us. But I don't think it's a bad thing, particularly as they get older, to have a mentor in some way that might help them in that. Sometimes prayer is not only all we've got, it's the most powerful thing we have in our armory. As you said, that God loves our prodigals more than we do, and to bring them again to that foot of the cross and to see him work in their lives is an incredible thing. You know, some years ago, we ran a big event called Bringing Home the Prodigals. We ran that all over the world. Hundreds of thousands of people experienced that event. And at the very first one, we put a big cross at the front of the auditorium, and we invited people during the day to write the names of their prodigals on a card and lay them at the foot of the cross for prayer. And I'll never forget leaving the stage one day, and I go down to pray with people at the foot of the cross. And Catherine, by the time I get there are thousands of names strewn around the cross. And And I remember laying my daughter Katie's name there and Lloyd's name there and thinking, this is not how I thought life would turn out. And I remember crying. And I thank God for what he's done in their lives since then, but I've never lost that sense as a father, as a parent, of our utter dependence on God for him to touch our children's lives. If you had one thing, Catherine, you'd say to a parent who's breaking their heart over a prodigal, what would that be?
I would say, just never give up hope. Remember that God loves them more than we do. His heart is for them. And just to keep praying. At the end of the day, that's what we need to be doing. Coming back, praying, and then keeping that relationship open. So loving them, accepting that we don't have to point out that maybe their life choices just at the moment aren't the ones that we would have wanted for them. They know that already. And sometimes I think we're a bit quick to go in and right. And why would they subscribe to a code of conduct if they don't believe the stuff in their hearts? So I mean, gosh, there's so much, isn't there? We don't want to argue them into the kingdom either if it's an intellectual thing. Let's not make faith a battleground.
And you know, you're right. They know what we believe. I think sometimes we worry about if we, they think we're condoning their lifestyle. But if we don't say another thing from now to the day they die, they know what we believe. I think that's in the bag. And in a sense, we need to perhaps back off a little and let God work in their lives.
You have been listening to the Faith in the Family podcast. For further information about our courses, resources, and events, visit us at careforthefamily.org.uk.